All right, let's get started. This morning, if I can get some readers, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Get someone to help me, Chris, if you'll get that. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. That'll be our main text. Acts 26, 19 through 20, Daniel. Acts 20, 24. Gabe, if you'll get that. Luke 2 and verse 10. Ryan, if you'll get that. Ryan, if you'll get Luke 4, 18. Then Mark 16, 15. One more, Tony, if you'll get that. Mark 16, 15. So do appreciate all the men who are here this morning. Very encouraging to see you come this morning. And as I heard that I was going to do a serious men, I was thinking about what to minister on, and this phrase immediately came to mind, and it's in the scripture we're going to look at, is the work of an evangelist. The work of an evangelist. In Rochester, I remember early on, I was asked this question: why do we encourage everyone to evangelize if we aren't all evangelists? Okay, so think about that for a minute. Why do we encourage everyone to evangelize if we aren't all evangelists? And I said, the office of an evangelist and the work of an evangelist are two different ideas. The office of an evangelist, this would be someone who ministers and goes to various churches like we would see today. They step into a congregation and they stir the people of God into the things of God through preaching, and maybe this involves some type of gift ministry, and it stirs people into the things of God. Other evangelists have a powerful testimony, and that draws people in, and they stir them to salvation, that God uses them as that tool. That's the office of an evangelist. But the work of an evangelist is simply one who preaches or testifies Jesus. It's someone who declares the good news of the gospel. And so in our scripture that we're going to look at, Paul, we understand he's writing to Timothy. Timothy is his disciple, his son in the faith. Timothy is a pastor of a church and a leader. He's overseeing numbers of churches, and as he's giving him some directions for ministry, he encourages and reminds him to do the work of an evangelist. And that's what I want to think about this morning, the work of an evangelist. Let's read our main verse, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5.
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, with advance, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Be watchful in all things, in your afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Okay, the work of an evangelist. Let's lay a foundation. Let's think about the Apostle Paul and evangelism. We could say this morning that if you look at Paul's ministry in the New Testament, he basically was an evangelist missionary. Right, he'd travel all around, starting new works, bringing the gospel to Gentiles. And from the birth of his salvation, from the moment he gets saved, something was birthed in him. This driving passion, this driving motivation to testify and declare the gospel. Let's read Acts 26, 19 through 20.
Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, declared first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and through all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting repentance.
Okay, here's Paul. He's speaking before King Agrippa. He's talking his testimony. He's giving his testimony. This is what happened. This is what Jesus did. This, And what does he say? And I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to the calling that God put on my life to declare his message, Christ crucified, Christ resurrected. That is what I've given my life to. Paul, his entire life and ministry was devoted to evangelism. This was the heartbeat of his salvation. So let's think for a moment. I'm making these statements, but let's think, what are some examples of Paul's evangelism? I'm asking, what would be some examples of that? We see him evangelizing people, speaking to people. Any thoughts? Yeah?
Well, the things that you mentioned, he went to certain places, he was telling everybody that he, there was a certain place where he said he was in the marketplace telling them that there was other times where he would argue on that place in Greece where they all talk about religion and stuff like that.
But yeah. Yeah, so in Athens, right, what is he doing? He's walking their temple, he's seeing all these gods, and right, immediately seeing to the unknown God. And he begins to testify. Let me tell you about the God you're missing. The one God, the true God, the incarnate Son of God, Jesus. And he begins to teach and preach, and people get saved. We know meeting Lydia outside of the gate of the city. He's going outside the gate to pray. As he says, this was common for people to find a place of prayer by the river. Sees a group of people, begins to witness, begins to testify, and Lydia, a seller of purple, gets saved. We know here he is imprisoned numbers of times throughout his ministry. And in one moment, there's a supernatural event where the doors of the prison open, right? And the Philippian jailer is there. And as he sees them leaving, right, he's ready to commit suicide. These guys are escaping. I'm dead anyway. And Paul stops him, preaches Jesus to him, and he gets saved. This is his entire ministry. This is the heartbeat of his salvation. This is the motivating factor, the life of God at work through him, through evangelism. Acts 20 and verse 24.
But I consider my life with no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course in the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of God's grace.
Okay, here's Paul writing, and here he says, I count my life. I do not count my life dear to myself. What is his focus? I want to finish my race with joy. I want to finish the ministry that God gave to me. And what is it? He says what his ministry is. To testify to the gospel. It's all about evangelism. My life's pursuit is to do what Jesus called me to do. And at its most basic form is witness. Evangelize. So we read the record of Paul's evangelistic life. Right? Here's what he does in its most basic form. But what did evangelism accomplish? Number one, it accomplished the pioneering and establishing of numbers of churches. Right? As he's going into these cities, as he's going into these areas. And I want to tell you this morning, a disciple, you want to preach the gospel. I'll tell you, pioneering is this. Evangelism. Right? Talk to any man who's pioneered. It's evangelism. That is what establishes churches. Evangelism. I remember visiting Pastor Tim when he was in Southern California, and we went and spent a week there, and just about every night we went outreaching with them. And that wasn't just because we were there. He evangelized 6 days a week. That is what he did. And we had a Bible study in that week. And it was no wonder he had about 10 people coming to that Bible study. Why? Because it was constant evangelism. Evangelism pioneers and establishes churches. Secondly, we know that through evangelism brought wisdom and clarity to the will of God. There's guys, what does God have for me? What does God want me to do? Where does God want me to go? For Paul, in many times, he was directed through evangelism. Right? Remember, as he's plotting where he's going to go next, he's planning, he's considering areas. And what does he have a vision of? A man from Macedonia crying out, come here, preach Jesus here. That was an evangelistic vision. Right? Something was compelling him to go and evangelize that area. Thirdly, evangelism caused him to be a discipler of men. Everywhere that Paul went, he had the ability to reproduce what he was. And that was directly connected to evangelism. I've had men often, as I pastored in Santa Fe or pastored in Rochester, how do you get your men to do what they're doing? And I would often tell them, evangelism is at the center of it. They're catching things through evangelism. They're catching vision through evangelism. They're getting a heart to do something for God by being involved in evangelism. And so this is the heartbeat of Paul's ministry. So in our text, here is this missionary evangelist, right? Paul, he's giving direction and understanding to his son in the faith. Verse 5, it says, do the work of an evangelist. So let's think secondly about the work of an evangelist. We need to think about what it means to do this work. And in order to understand what Paul is talking about, we simply need to first look at the word evangelist. This word evangelist comes from a Greek word that simply means one who brings good tidings. One who declares good news. So let's think about that played out. Let's read Luke 2 and verse 10. Okay, here's an example of an evangelist. This is the birth of Jesus Christ, the work of an evangelist. This is the birth of Jesus Christ, and God sends an angel to announce good news. Right? It says in there, behold, I bring you good news. That's a work of an evangelist. They declare a message. Luke 4 and verse 18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed.
Okay, so a couple times in there, to proclaim, to declare. And one translation of the beginning there says he's anointed me to proclaim good news or the gospel. It's simply what gospel means, good news. So that is the work of an evangelist. For us this morning, to do the work of an evangelist is to witness and testify Jesus. To who? To anyone. To everyone. And Paul writes to Timothy. Think about the context. You can go back and read this on your own time. But before where we read, what's happening before, he's saying, the Word of God is. This is what the Word of God accomplishes. This is the confidence we can take in the Scriptures. And what does he say? Preach that Word. Declare this message and evangelize. Finally, the gospel of that word. Tell everyone. I'm going to tell you, it's very tragic how many men miss this important part of calling and ministry. There are a lot of men, and I'm not talking about other organizations. I'm not talking about outside in the church world or the religious world. I'm talking about men in our fellowship that miss the work of an evangelist. They're missing this critical part in their ministry, this vital part in their ministry. Number one, why? Because they're blinded by laziness. I want you to understand the work of an evangelist is just that, work. It takes work. That word work in our text is toil. It's action. It's you can talk about evangelism and this is what we do and you know this is what we're part of, and but unless you're putting in the work, you're not gonna have the fruit of evangelism. But this is many men, they're lazy about it. They're in their approach. Others are blinded by the cost. Right? Is evangelism is going to cost you time. Right? There's guys, it's like, man, that just takes too much time. Yeah, I got to set aside time and go out. I've worked all day. I've got things to do. It will take the cost of time. There's churches, they won't do things because of finances. Right? The work of an evangelist is going to require a cost in money. We've already, since we went online, right? As we have to do things online now, I mean, understand, we weren't really equipped for that. We had live stream, right? But there's a whole other side of media ministry that just since we've been from quarantine to now, there's been investments, costs that have been made. Money that has been spent to be able to facilitate the work of an evangelist in this unique season. It's going to require an investment of your talents and your abilities. Right? There's a lot of people in churches that are great at critiquing what we do. They have an incredible opinion about how a night went, but they are not willing to pay or put in their talent or their ability. Then other men are blinded by the cost in persecution. Right? When you are evangelistic and outside the four walls, how many know that? That can come with some persecution. That can come with some backlash. That can come with some pushing against you, pressing against you. So you have to work through that. But there are men, they are blinded by the cost. Others are blinded by their preferences. This could be their own opinions. I've spoken with pastors. Overall, man, good men love God, but they have opinions about evangelism, and they're not doing the work of an evangelist. Or others, their preferences are based on experience. Yeah, well, we tried the Saturday morning thing. Yeah, we tried the concert thing. It doesn't work here. We tried the haunted house thing. We live in a big city. We have too much to compete with. You know, we tried the plays. We've got so many, arts around us. It doesn't work. And so here they're blinded by their own preferences. But here in our text, Paul emphasizes this work of an evangelist. It's vital to furthering the kingdom of God. And that's still today. This evangelism still works today. I know, there's a lot, social media is the new way we're going to be event. No, that worked in the 70s, but that's not going to work today. Paul says this will even work in the future. What does he say? Verse 3, a time will come. A time will come when men gather teachers for themselves, turn their ears away from truth, and are turned aside to fables. You know what? We're living that time. But what does he say? Be watchful. Understand, yeah, what's going on around you, but do the work of an evangelist. This still works today. So let's close. Let's think about ministry view. Your success, right? Men, you're here because you want to do something for God. Well, your success in ministry will be impacted by your view of evangelism. Verse 5, do the work of an evangelist, and then he says, fulfill your ministry. Evangelism and ministry are connected. They're weaved into one another. You want to be an effective pastor? You want to be an effective discipler? You want to be an effective in your city, in an area? That ministry is going to be as impactful as your evangelism. That ministry is going to be as blessed as your evangelism. And so Paul, in his ministry, he saw what he saw because he was so active in the most basic thing that every man can do. Witness and testify. And isn't that really the root of the Great Commission? Right? Mark 16:15.
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Preach the gospel, or as we talked about, the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ to everyone. To everyone. I want to just share with you this as we close. My calling personally changed when I got evangelism in my heart. Now, I understood evangelism. I had it up here in my brain. I understood this is what we do as a fellowship, evangelism. We take the gospel outside of the four walls. Hippie movement, right? Yeah, they did the concert early there at the Boys and Girls Club. It was all up here, evangelism. But I viewed it up here as a chore. I need to go on outreach if I want ministry. I need to be on outreach because Pastor Greg said this should be at work in you. Understood it, but when revelation happened and evangelism came into my heart, when I believed in it, when I got a burden for it, when I had a genuine desire to be fruitful, not for my pride or to be noticed, but to be fruitful because that would save a soul from eternal separation from God. When that got in my heart, my view changed. My view of it wasn't a chore. It was a joy. I had a heart for it. Not only that, I want to tell you, the concert ministry, absolutely, guys. I'm telling you, if you'll get involved in it, you will learn lessons that you'll carry into ministry. Tell me, I don't know how that's going to work out. I'm telling you, it does. It does. And when my heart for evangelism, I got a heart for it, my band changed. I was in bands that were totally not effective. We were having a good time up there, but it was doing nothing in bringing people to salvation. But when I got a heart for evangelism, my band changed. God did something supernatural in our music, in our sound. My fruitfulness changed. I began to gain favor with people, open doors. Man, my salvation changed. And all the fears about calling and all the worries and anxieties about ministry and stepping into the things of God began to fade because my heart, it wasn't up here in my mind, it was here in my heart. And I'll tell you, that made all the difference. And I dedicated myself to evangelism. And I committed myself to evangelism. And I got involved in everything that was going on that had to do with evangelism. Why? Because my heart was in it. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I treasured it, and my heart followed. And when I went out, wherever I went out, the first thing I did was evangelize. In Santa Fe, I took over that church. 33 years old is an older church. 33 years was the church age at that time. I'm 24. I've never pastored. There's people, they've been saved longer than I've been alive. I mean, they're all like my tías and tíos, right? In the Hispanic culture. Some of them even called me Pastorjito, right?
Find out.
So we go into this church, and there was no Saturday outreach, not because anybody was doing something wrong or anything like that. Just there was the preferences and the opinions. But I would take people out to dinner upon arrival, getting to know them. Again, they're all mostly older saints. And after dinner, I would ask them, I don't know Santa Fe. I've never lived here. I've never lived outside of Prescott. You know the area. Where would be a good place to evangelize? And they would tell me, oh, you know what? This place, that park, you know, on and off. And I'd say, you know what? Thank you. I'm going to go right now to where you told me. And I'd just like to invite you. You don't have to come, but if you're interested, you can join me and my family. And they started to come. And they started to see people get saved. And immediately, something began to shift. As soon as possible, I established Saturday morning outreach. And you know what? For a time, it was me, my wife, and a couple in the church, a guy that wanted to be discipled, wanted to pastor. And in the beginning, it was just us. But it began to grow. And man, we began to see visitors. We began to see people saved. And it was a slow trickle. But eventually, this Saturday outreaches, it grew. I remember one time we took, and we were just talking about it the other morning, an impact team to Tucum Carry when Gary Basham was there. It was Pastor Miller and myself. We don't have large churches. But between the two of us, we took four vans and numbers of cars. And we tore that city up. Why? Because there was something put in us about evangelism. And it was carried into ministry. And we saw some incredible breakthroughs. In Rochester, that was a totally different situation. In that situation, they didn't have Saturday morning outreach for bad reasons. But you know what? There's something in me. There's something alive in me. And I talked to some of the guys, and I said, you know, I'm going to announce a Saturday evening outreach, one-on-one evangelism. It was within the first 2 weeks of me being there. And we went that Saturday evening to the Lilac Festival, massive festival that happens there in Rochester. And that night we saw 12 people saved. There was more in that one outreach saved than they had seen in the previous 4 months. Because there was a heart that was missing. But I'm telling you, when that was reestablished, when that heart was cultivated, we were able to see incredible things. So my challenge this morning, gentlemen, is do you have a heart for evangelism? You might know it up here. Do you have a heart for it? Is it alive in you? Does it burden you? Does it motivate you? Does it drive you? Are you doing the work of an evangelist? Because who knows the potential in this group of men, if this group of men would evangelize this city will be turned upside down. You want a revival? You want a Jesus people movement? Pastor Mitchell has said for years, it was a witnessing movement. Amen. I'd like every head bowed just for a moment before we open for questions. This Saturday, we are going to begin our Saturday morning outreach. We're not going to be doing door-to-door for various reasons, but we are going to begin to go where there are people and evangelize. Not pass out flyers. All right? So many times our approach can be to, if we can just get them to the event, you know what? What if they don't make the event? This morning, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, this is now a moment between you and God. And as we start up Saturday morning outreach, I absolutely understand schedules. I absolutely understand you may not make every single one for various reasons, but you're going to commit yourself to evangelism. Maybe this has died in your salvation. Maybe it was there once, but it's been lost this morning. Well, tonight, this is a moment, an altar established for you to commit yourself to evangelism. And I wonder, right now, heads are bowed, you say, Pastor, before God, I'm going to begin to pray for a heart for evangelism. And I'm going to begin to pray for a burden for souls. And I am right now going to dedicate myself to witness and testify. You'd lift your hand this morning. That's you. I want to do that. My salvation is dry. Yes, hands are going up. My salvation is dry. My fruitfulness is, I'm barren, but no, I'm, God help me in this area. Yes, hands are going up. Amen. Amen. Then I want to just pray for you right now. And I want you to just pray and make a quick commitment. Father God, I'm asking you would kindle a flame of evangelism. God, that there is going to be a burden for souls, a heart for the lost. God, give us eyes for the harvest. Lord God, I'm asking right now that you're going to cultivate a spirit of evangelism. Let the work of evangelism shine forth in these men. And I'm asking you'd make them fruitful right now. I rebuke pride and fear and worry. And I'm asking God, you're going to begin to expand and grow our congregation. Let there be a fruitful outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God, fill them right now with the Holy Ghost. A power to evangelize, a boldness to witness. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise and glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can lift our heads. I want to open it up for some questions. You have some questions about evangelism, what we talked about this morning. Amen. Yeah. And
what was the turning point that you talked about? Something happened where it went from your brain to your heart?
Yeah.
Was there anything like that you did or anything specific that was a turning point for you?
Yeah. I think the main part, Andy, was that I began to recognize my lack of enthusiasm for it. Right, or I began to recognize other things. It's like, yeah, I'm in one side of my mind, yeah, I'm going to outreach on Saturday. But if anything came up, I was quick. And when I made a commitment to it, that was the turning point. When my wife and I made a commitment, that time is reserved for outreach. When we made that commitment, that's when it began to really turn. And then when we began to evangelize off the calendar. In other words, at first it was strictly Saturday mornings. That was like outreach time, right? But then the rest of the week wasn't really happening. But we started going out in the evenings when it wasn't corporate outreach. We started going out and witnessing to people. And that's where that really began to take off. So when we committed. Yeah, Rob.
How did you break through that? Like when you invite people and you pray with them, and then to actually get them to come to church,
yeah,
to lock in and you know just
yeah, yeah. So that's you know part of that. Pastor Greg's often said is it's a dominion issue, and so I've seen it in my personal life. I've seen it when I pastored in Santa Fe. I've seen it in Rochester. Was it steps of dominion. Sometimes you go out and witness, you can't pray with anyone. You can't pay them to pray with you, right? But then you break through. Okay, I'm praying with them, but I don't ever see or hear from them again. Then you get a breakthrough. You can witness, you can pray with them. They'll come to church once or twice, but then you don't see them again. To the full fruitfulness. And I remember in Rochester, so vexed, I remember calling Pastor Greg. And I know the answer, right? It's like, I know it's dominion, but it's like, every 6 months, a turnover. We'd have a crop of, you know, 10 new converts, and every 6 months, they would die, and weeks later, we'd get a brand new crop. And every six, it was just a cycle. And I was so sick of it. I called Pastor Greg. I'm like, what else can I do? And he gave me the very spiritual answer. I don't know. And I was like, darn it. He said, you need to talk to God about it. And I said, but I'm talking to you about it. Because I have been talking to God. And he said, you need to get a hold of God. And I'll tell you, that last year of Rochester, man, was it fruitful. Because we broke that thing through. We had some incredible converts lock in, get involved in ministry. And they would always get involved. And like I said, they would die. And so you got to fight it, break it through. So it's an attitude. This is unacceptable. Right? Give John chapter 15, give me fruit, fruit that would remain. Good. Other questions? All right. Masters of evangelism here. Okay. Good. All righty. Praise God. Well, that's all I have, gentlemen, and thank you. God bless you guys.